Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, guy.
All right, so I just want you to know, I mean, this is the first time I've ever done this, so I just want to let you know that you're being recorded, you know what I mean, for legal purposes, I guess, for later. I don't really know.
Oh, yeah.
But it was basically the reason I wanted to call you is just because, I mean, I know that we've only talked on Discord and everything, but I run a website called Anti-Prohibit, and right now we're a .com. I'm trying to set it up to a .org so I can become an official non-governmental organization, nonprofit. But until then, it's a .com. But basically, the point of my website is to spread awareness of how many people are addicts and what they go through to try to normalize addiction and make it more mainstream so that we can get the laws changed around drug use. Because what we've been doing as a nation is definitely not working. People have been dying of illicit fentanyl because they don't know what they're using. You're talking about chemicals that are so potent that the difference between a pleasant euphoric buzz and a lethal dose is too small for the eye to see. So they're
right.
And they're mixing it up with their gloved hands. You know what I'm saying? They're not being precise about it. And so people are shooting
right.
up like enough to kill 50 elephants in one bag, and the next bag they got nothing. So
right.
That's one of the issues. The other issue that I have is just like I feel like from a constitutionalist perspective, we have the right to the pursuit of happiness, and the government doesn't have the right to tell us what our pursuit of happiness, what forms those take. If you're doing your own thing and you're not hurting anyone else, I believe you should be able to get high if that's what you want to do. I believe that since opium is a natural plant, you should be able to grow it yourself and enjoy it that way, just like you can with marijuana pretty much everywhere now. So that's basically, I just want to let you know, like, that's what my website's about, so you know where I'm coming from. But I just want to talk about your journey now. So tell me what happened with you. When did you first try opiates?
That would be in 2002.
2002?
Yeah.
And what form did that take? I'm sure you, like everyone else, you started with probably Percocet or something. You didn't go straight to heroin.
No, I was on morphine.
Oh, okay. Prescribed?
Yeah, prescribed morphine. For pain management.
So you injured yourself at a young age?
Yeah, I was in a car wreck.
How old were you in 2002? You said you got in a car accident?
Yeah. In 2002, I was 32, I guess. Yeah, 32.
And you broke your back, right, didn't you?
Yeah, I broke a bunch of pieces and discs and nerves and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you pretty much needed pain medication from the rip, obviously. There was no physical therapy that was going to work without being extensively medicated.
Right. The whole idea was to get me exercising and moving around so that I could keep in shape.
Right. So then what happened? Just keep going with your story. Sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, just keep talking until you don't have anything else to say, and I'll provide a prompt.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was on that dose of morphine, 210 mg a day, for 18 years.
Wow.
And, and then 2018 came around, and the CDC released their guidelines in 2016 about how people shouldn't be on opiates and stuff and to get them all off of it. And so that affected me in a big way. They started weaning me off the morphine pretty rapidly.
Right.
And,
so 18
years
you were on it, right? 18 years you've been on it?
Yeah.
This happened in 2016?
2018 is when they started taking me off of it. But the CDC came out with their guidelines in 2016, yeah.
So you injured yourself in 2000?
No, in 1998, actually, I was in a car wreck.
Oh, so you've been on it for 20 years, basically, just on morphine for 18?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
Yeah.
They just took your meds away from you for the federal government? Sorry, I get really mad about this.
Oh, yeah, they definitely took them away, yeah. Yeah, so, and they left me without any real way to deal with that, you know. and no, didn't offer me any options. I didn't even know what Suboxone was.
Right.
You know, because I'm not in that culture, you know what I mean? I'm just on a medical thing, and I never got into the whole culture of opiates and stuff, so.
Right, you just didn't know.
I didn't know what my options were, yeah.
Right. Have you heard of methadone? Do you know what that's about?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because methadone provides a lot more pain relief than Suboxone does.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. But you can't be on both at the same time, or the methadone won't do anything. It won't activate the mu opioid receptor because the Suboxone is on it too tightly.
Oh, right.
Right. I know a lot about chemicals and pharmacology, just from my own research.
Well, you know, what they claimed today is they claimed that the taking... Because they occupy the receptors. The kratom occupies the receptors and doesn't let the opiates in.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they told me today.
I did not know that about kratom.
Yeah, I never heard that before. My other doctor told me it potentiates the opiates, and that's why he didn't want me on it. But they say it blocks the opiates, so they don't want me on it.
You must be getting some banging kratom, I'll tell you that much, dude. You get some heroin kratom. Some heroin. Heroton.
Yeah.
Heroton. That's crazy, dude. So now you're going to be on Suboxone in, what was it, about a week?
Yeah, in about a week from now, hopefully I'll start getting on, raising the Suboxone and lowering the Norco, which I was put on Norco after 18 years. Yeah, after 20 years of being on morphine, they put me on Norco 3 a day.
Right.
And that just wasn't...
Tylenol.
Yeah. Yeah, it just hasn't been sufficient for my pain needs. So I've been in severe disability for 2 years now, 2 or 3 years.
What? How quickly did they remove the morphine? Did you go into withdrawal?
No, they weaned it down... But it was big jumps, you know. It was down...
Like 200 milligrams, 150, 100, 75, 60, 50.
Well, it actually went from 210 to 160 or something, and then it went down to 90. They were pretty big jumps.
Over the course of how long?
Over about a year.
A year? They took you to get off of it?
Yeah.
And they didn't give you a prescription or set you over the pain management physician or anything like that? Any additional pain management physicians?
No, the pain management physician just wanted to do surgery, and I tried a bunch of surgeries, but they always hurt me really bad and didn't help at all.
Right.
And so surgical procedures, you know, you just go in for the day and you get it done. And,
Yeah.
So
I actually overdosed. I'll tell you a little bit about me, if that's cool.
Yeah.
I actually overdosed on February 1st of 2012. I had a quantity of what I thought was heroin. I don't know if it was or not. Doesn't matter if it was or not, you know. But
yeah.
What ended up happening was I overdosed, and I passed out on my right arm. And I got what's known as compartment syndrome. You ever heard of that?
Oh, no. Yeah, I just found out about that from a friend who got a fentanyl pill instead of an Adderall.
Right.
And she, and her muscles ran out of oxygen so badly that
it
wrecked her.
Yeah, they had a cut, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a giant cut on my right forearm. I have a cut on the back of it and a cut on the wrist side and a cut on the back of the hand side. But it's up on
the really?
Yeah. I have the same spot on my right leg, so I actually have brain damage as well. It's the part of my brain that controls involuntary muscle motion and the transition from short to long term memory. So it can be challenging for me to learn new people's names. Fortunately, I have a pretty damn big brain, so I had some brain cells to spare. I'm still smarter than most liberals.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly feel that way because they just don't think a lot. But
Yeah.
Let me see. Oh, you're not a liberal, are you? You live in California.
No, I don't. The thing about California is that it's just the coast that's liberal, basically. The coasts vote liberal, and then the inland counties vote red.
The cities, right?
Yeah, the cities on the coast, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy, dude. It's like that around the whole country. If you look at the entire country, the only reason the Democrats win is because of the cities. The whole country is bright red, and then you have these little dots of blue, but those dots of blue represent millions of people.
Yeah, that's right.
It's ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But, that's neither here nor there as far as what I'm talking about. So let me tell you what my vision is, if that's cool.
Yeah.
My vision for the country, if we survive that long, if we don't go to nuclear war in the next 2 or 3 years, my vision for the country is a world where drug use is normalized but not glamorized. And what I mean by that is, like, there are other Western nations who have realized that drugs are a part of the human condition. They always have been. They always will be. There are going to be people that try to get high on everything. That's why the United States prohibited alcohol for 3 years during the Prohibition.
Right.
And then we ended up getting blind drinking our own moonshine. People were going blind.
Right.
Drinking moonshine. Now the line I want to walk is I don't want to bring that up in a debate with someone because I don't want them to say, well, let's prohibit alcohol too and make it all illegal. Because I don't want that to happen. But
because
I feel like a 100% sober populace is a miserable populace. Just a lot of people are miserable, you know what I'm saying? So my vision for the future is that you could go to like an opium bar and smoke pure American-grown opium. Or, like, even if you had to do heroin, you could be sure it was heroin. It was diacetylmorphine, not something 100 times stronger called fentanyl that's from China that was mixed up by a Mexican in his backyard before it was smuggled over the southern border at some point. That's how they're doing it. I mean, it's ridiculous. The vast majority of people who overdose accidentally and don't do it to commit suicide and they never wake up. It's really sad.
That's right.
It is really sad.
That's right.
I've lost friends to this thing. I almost died to it three times. Three times I've overdosed. Three times I've been Narcan'd and saved. I've had compartment syndrome, brain damage. My wife still married me anyway. She's an angel. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not doing this till I can get high legally. Even if heroin were legal today, I would not go do it because I have too much to live for today. I'm not in any physical pain anymore. Well, I'm in a little bit. So my back hurts sometimes, but I have a permanent limp because of my overdose. But I have calf muscle atrophy. I can't flex my right foot down past 90 degrees. So my right muscle atrophied a little bit, and because of that I limp. But other than that, you can't really tell that I limp. However, it has affected my posture a bit, and my back hurts some days. But I'm not in enough pain to require any opioids. Let's put it that way. So I'm not doing this to get high. And a lot of people say that to me, and it really hurts my feelings because they'll be like, you just want to get high, legally. And it's like, A, if I did, it doesn't change the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground is that we've been in a state of full drug prohibition for 108 years. And since then, drugs have become more ubiquitous, not less. They're more deadly, more potent than ever, and they're fucking killing people. It's that simple. And unless we fucking do something about it, more and more people are going to die. Because it's stigmatized. Because that's the other thing is people do it alone. They do it alone because they can't go do it at a bar. You can't go do it in public. Switzerland took a really interesting approach to it. Switzerland said that they would provide heroin. They provide their addicts with diacetylmorphine, pure diacetylmorphine. They provide it to them, and because of that, and they don't have to do it alone. So because of that, they actually have less use because people don't want to start heroin when they see what it's about, when they see other people doing it. People don't want to start doing it. But they have their overdoses are virtually eliminated. Practically no one overdoses in Switzerland anymore because they're doing it in a medically controlled environment. It's dosed out. They know what they're doing. Like, think about it. What we're doing with quote-unquote heroin today in the United States would be akin to me going to a store, buying some illegal beer and getting so shit-faced on it because I didn't know what the hell was in it, actually, and it had tranquilizer in it. But it doesn't happen because when you go to the store, it says 5.9% volume or alcohol by volume on the can. You know what you're doing before you do it.
That's why
no one dies off beer anymore, or if they do, they're drinking like a ridiculous amount of it. Like, alcohol poisoning is real. Let me back that up. But if you get alcohol poisoning, you know what you unless you it was forced down your throat with a funnel and you were unconscious already, you know what you're doing at the time. Like, you know what you're getting into.
Right,
you,
yeah.
At least you have a chance to know what you're getting into. But with heroin, it's not so.
They do that in Holland also. They have public like sort of cafes for junkies.
Yeah, for weed and heroin.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But like, it's pretty much solved their problem. And the other thing is, the United States could tax it. We need another source of tax revenue if we're going to keep Social Security, because Social Security is a Ponzi scheme by definition. And think about it; it relies on the definition of a Ponzi scheme is something that doesn't sell a real product or service, but relies on new members recruiting other people in to keep the money flowing. That's Social Security to a T. They don't provide anything but money, and they require new blood to keep the old blood paid off. So that's going to go bust in about 5 or 10 years. I estimate in about 10 years they're going to start having to cut it, or we're not going to be able to pay our bills as a nation. China's going to call their tab in. They're going to want some of that trillions of dollars we owe them. We're not going to be able to, and then we're all going to have a new nuclear war.
It's possible, but
I mean, I think
something will work out, but it's possible,
so.
You know.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Man. But my point is that if you legalize drugs, that would be a whole new tax revenue. Alcohol, I think in 2020, alcohol made $18 billion in a year or something like that, just the tax on alcohol with $18 billion in 1 year.
Yeah.
Or something like, it might have been 80. I think it might have been 80.
Each state with legal weed, each state makes between $500,000 and $1 billion, $500 million or $2 billion in taxes on weed
a year.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania cleaned up when they started doing that here.
Yeah.
And that's not even including the money that they charge for the dispensary itself.
Right. The permits and the fees and everything. Yeah.
Right. Now, from a libertarian perspective, I feel like the government is infringing on one of my God-given rights, which is the pursuit of happiness, by forbidding me from getting high. I really do.
Right.
I can make a libertarian argument for that, because it's not up to the government to tell me what my pursuit of happiness looks like. And if you've ever tried heroin, you would, if it was real, you would know why I would want to do it again. I'm saying it's that simple.
Right.
So that's what I think anyway. I mean,
it
makes
any
sense. It's very arbitrary that alcohol is the only drug that we're allowed to get high on.
And tobacco.
Alcohol and nicotine, yep.
Yeah.
It's arbitrary as fuck. And it's honestly, it's disgusting the way we treat addicts. We imprison people for having an addiction and seeking the cure for it. Heroin is the cure to an addict's active addiction. If you're actively addicted to heroin, it is the cure for it. It's the medicine you need. I know that because if you go to a detox, they give you more opiates. That's how they get you clean. And now, it would be like if we locked up diabetics for having sugar. That's the same thing.
Right.
It's the same thing. We're locking up diabetics for having sugar, exchange diabetes for addiction and heroin for sugar. We're locking up people for having what amounts to a medical condition, or at best a mental condition.
Right.
I mean, it's been proven addiction is a mental condition.
Yeah.
So we're locking people up for it. I think history is not going to remember the United States fondly for that, for one of those. That's going to be one of the reasons we're not remembered fondly.
Yeah, and we pushed the whole world to follow our lead, too.
Yeah, we did. Yep. We had a war on drugs, quote-unquote, as stupid as that sounds.
Oh, I remember it well.
There's no such thing as a war on drugs. What are you doing, locking up the little dope bags? Putting them behind bars? What are they coming out of you with AK-47s? Little heroin bags shooting at you. Bow, 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 bow. Give you two. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
That's my vision for the future.
Yeah. European countries are deciding to legalize small amounts, personal amounts, you know, and it's working out good for them.
It is. I mean, Not only do we lose all that tax revenue, but we spend, I think, $80 to $100 billion a year fighting the war on drugs every year.
Right.
That's stupid, you know? We're just not going to be able to afford. We got to change the times. We're just not going to be able to afford. We're not going to be able to afford to keep doing that.
Right.
And you know what they say: change or die.
Yeah.
And I think unfortunately, I'm afraid we're going to die.
Well, it's possible, but you know, I think things could work out.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they might not be ideal, but they'll work out, you know.
Cool.
I mean, if we have hard times, we have hard times, but I don't think it's going to get so bad that it's going to be just unlivable. But, you know, anything's possible, I guess.
That's a bold word coming from a man who's living in constant pain.
Talking about humanity on a whole, you know, and how if they're going to make it or
yeah,
I think they'll make it. Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah.
Let's hope for the best. So anyway, that's kind of my vision. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm working on right now, you know.
Yeah, cool.
I'm really trying to change the nation. What I'd like to do is like to start a lobbying organization, a non-governmental organization that lobbies Congress for it.
Right.
Because that would make a big difference. Because whatever we've been doing isn't working, obviously. We've been trying this for 108 years. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I've heard that
right.
30 times in NA meetings and AA meetings because it's true.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that so many goddamn times. I'm in recovery right now. You know I'm sober, right?
Yeah.
I've been sober for 5 months. I had 5 months today, actually.
Oh, right on.
But, yeah, 5 months ago,
right on,
I changed my mind-altering substance.
Wow.
I altered my perception of reality in 5 months. So.
Wow.
But,
that's major, dude.
I mean, it's I'm not proud of it. I mean, I'm proud of it, but I'm not bragging about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
That's awesome. Yeah, man.
But that's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been doing with our drug policy every year.
Yeah, that was a nationwide zero tolerance of even a roach or a seed. They would take your vehicle or take everything you own.
Yeah, and then
they
ran out of places that they realized no one could drive to work anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I'm playing. But that's pretty much what happened. They realized they were going to have to lock up everyone. And the politicians.
Yeah.
And the politicians. They get high like the rest of us do.
Oh, yeah.
They get so loaded, they get high on adrenochrome.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Epstein Island. Obama's been there, I think.
Oh, yeah, Clinton's been there.
I guarantee you Biden's been there at some point.
For years.
Yeah, he's never done anything good either, I feel like.
Yeah, he's been pretty much a nothing.
That's the only nothing burger that Trump ever had to deal with. There's
yeah.
no nothing burger he ever had to be worried about. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, man. That's crazy. So just to recap, you broke your back 20 years ago in three places, two places.
Well, I have. I guess you could say two.
Okay, so you broke your back in two places 20 years ago. Then you got prescribed 200 milligrams of morphine a day for 18 straight years. 18
yeah.
straight years. Then the federal government goes crazy about drugs because of Oxycontin coming out and killing kids, and house moms start calling their senators, getting all pissed off about it. Getting scared. I'm not saying their fear was not warranted, but they're afraid. So out of fear, the government does a knee-jerk reaction, starts making pain medication illegal. You get removed off your morphine and expected to function with nothing but souped-up Advil.
Right.
So you turn to self-medicating with kratom and opiates yourself. And,
yeah.
now you found a better way that you're going to use Suboxone, you think?
Yeah, I'm going to give that a good shot, give that a good try. And hopefully it's going to work out for me, because what's been going on the past few years has just been...
Right, dude. I'm sorry to hear that. Pain is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Pain.
Yeah,
the medical
rough.
Definition for pain management, the pain is requiring pain management or opioids, used to be when a patient is experiencing pain that has outlived its value as a body as a bodily warning mechanism.
Right.
Burn victims who know they're burned, they can't stop being burned. There's no heat source removed, and they're just in agony. You give them oxygen, or you give them Dilaudid or whatever. More you know, if your back's shattered and it's not going to be better anytime soon, you might need it for the rest of your life, but at least your life could be made livable. I mean, you could live a great life if you had enough oxy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be gardening and walking and working out.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the goal, is to get more exercise and to get more of a life together, you know, to take care of my garden, take care of my family's house. And
be productive citizens, you know, be a great citizen again.
Yeah.
Not that you're not a great citizen now, but I know you can't be productive as you'd like to be because you're in agony. You're in pain all the time.
Right, yeah.
Turns out that'll put a damper on your day. Who would have thought? Being in constant pain will damper your spirits down.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So that sucks.
Yeah, man, it's been a long road. It's been
How old are you now, if you don't mind asking? Since you were 38 in 2000, you are...
I was 30 in 2000, so...
So you're 56?
I'm 54.
53, yeah, 54, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm adding a couple years to the clock. I thought it was 2026 already. I thought we were 2 years back into Trump's presidency.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, burn. I can dream.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, keep the dream alive, man.
I hear you.
For sure.
Yep.
For sure.
All right, man. Well, thanks for the talk. I'm going to go. I'll send you a copy of the article I write based on this conversation.
Okay, cool.
Thanks, dude.
Cool, man. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, I'll be in touch with you via Discord probably later on tonight even, so I'll talk to you. Don't be a stranger, Mendocino, California.
Yeah. You bet. All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Later.